All right. No, we're not going to go to Joshua. We're going to go to Judges.
Oh, man.
Joshua the Judges. There's a cycle that takes place once they've entered the land, and that is that there's revival, there's life, there's excitement, there's power, and then it goes, and then they're in apostasy and self and high places, and then somebody comes along and kicks ass. And so the cycle throughout all of Israel's history is once every 40 years there's revival.
40.
Revival being when you get
where you and it, huh?
Revival being this when everything kind of gets blown out.
No, revival meaning that they live by resurrection power instead of by the power of the soul.
And 40 years to the generation.
Right. So Deborah, in Judges, they had apostasy, and then Deborah and Barak came along, and Deborah was one of the prophetesses of Israel. When she spoke, then all kinds of things happened, and the land was at rest. Now in chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The word Midian, and we're going to see, This sounds weird from the standpoint of studying this in light of Esther. But what I want you to see is Midian is always connected with the Amalekites, of which Haman was. And so the word Midian simply means place of judgment. And that was the name of the tribe. The slaughter of the Midianites and all that is one of the hero things in the scriptures. But it's like the Amalekites and the people of the east are always connected in the scripture with the Midianites. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian, and into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. The Midianites for 7 years have been beating you up. And so in that course of time, protect yourself, you've been living in caves on the sides of mountains. You've been hiding.
This is uncomfortably close.
Yeah. You got a little uncomfortable last night too, didn't you?
What he said to me, yeah. He says, always said one sentence and I didn't hear the rest of what he said the whole night. I was so freaked out.
I had to wait till today.
Yes, it wasn't today.
Okay. So we got Israel living in caves and their own little strongholds. Mm. You understand strongholds?
Mm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you guys don't know anything about strongholds.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you understand how that's what you've been doing.
Yeah. It's like a papillon, and the only light that ever comes in is when that guy slides open the thing to give him the little can of bugs. I mean, that's the only life that this guy even gets.
What are you talking about? Never mind.
Yeah, to be there.
It's a club that he hangs out.
And so it was that they served bugs. And so it was when Israel had sown. Listen. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up. And the Amalekites. Aha! They got Amalekites.
They're buds.
And the children of the east.
Ooh.
And they came up against them. And they encamped against them. and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. And in the way this is talked about in other books, like in Haggai, it says, you know, you earn money to put in a bag full of holes, and you finally get a little, and God comes along and blows on it. Money. So that you end up with nothing. What? The Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east have gotten everything. Mm-hmm. There's no abundance. There's no life. There's only strongholds protecting the little that you have. There's only this place of judgment, Midian, where you're always afraid. You're afraid of your own mind. You're afraid of what other people will say about you. You're afraid of what you say about yourself. You got it? You got the picture? Mm-hmm. None of you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, it's very mysterious.
So now, the Midians, they've come up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. In John's song, it's like bees. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Now that's what's taking place in you. Got it? There's nothing but confusion. There's no authority in your lives. There's only searching out meager places periodically, every once in a great while, leaving your stronghold and venturing out, but mostly it's just awful is what it is.
Yep.
Was
that a yep?
Yep.
It's amen.
A universal yep. But this isn't true for Daryl.
Yay, verily, they said, yep.
Daryl, in the midst of all this, Daryl is hollocking.
I'm sorry, Ben, I don't feel bad. And he's really pissed off at us because we're done.
No, 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 he can be our leader.
Yeah.
Hail. Well, somebody's got a holock.
I don't want to be your leader.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be the leader, but you can show us the way by hollocking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be
there.
Okay.
And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord.
Finally.
And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto them, unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them up from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.
So is he saying there, because they feared, they paid respect to other kinds of gods, that's where their disobedience is?
Right. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay, now we got, Israel's in deep shit, right? They're running around. They don't have anything. They come up and some idiot tells them to make an asset time. What the fuck are you talking about? My debts are more than my assets.
My fields are trampled.
No, I'm just about equal.
Somebody then he says to you, ignore your debts. What? I can't ignore my debts. All I'll do is just get another 10% debt to God. Oh, shit.
You said that.
What kind of moron would say that?
Some hollocking moron somewhere.
Remember to value the house upward now that has been wired.
And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah. Don't even think it.
It's important.
It really is.
Really.
That pertained unto Joash, the Abiezer.
Abiezer.
Yeah. And his son, Gideon. Gideon. Good old Gideon. He was threshing his wheat in the wine press.
By the wine press.
Yeah, but that's not what it says in the Hebrew. He was threshing it in the wine press.
That was pretty stupid.
No, it wasn't. He was hiding from the Midianites.
Oh, they'd come and take it.
To hide it from the Midianites. Well, that's what it says right there. To hide it from the Midianites.
Oh, I wasn't reading ahead yet.
You got the picture?
Mm-hmm. Does it matter who the prophet was up above this that said, y'all are rebellious?
No.
Okay. Y'all are
rebellious. Prophets are indicted.
Prophets.
Only what they
you
say
all
matters.
It's a kind of Texan version. Y'all are rebellious.
Now the word Gideon, the name, the God did this neat stuff. God always named the names of people, or caused the parents to name the names of people, to give an indicator of what's going to happen. The name Gideon means a feller of trees, a cutter downer of trees. Remember that forest we've been looking at, and I've been telling you, tell me which of those fucking trees haven't you lain under? Mm-hmm. Well, now comes along Gideon. Gideon's going to cut down all those little trees that you've been committing whoredoms under.
So everybody can see.
Okay? You got that? Mm-hmm. Gideon means feller of trees. What are you laughing at? All right. Gideon is hiding. You got a visual. You know the wine press is this vat, right?
Right. These little things that...
And Gideon has got... He's run around and probably got enough wheat for one loaf of matzah. And he's in there grinding the wheat, hiding out. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said... Unto him. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
So what are you on?
Gideon says, say what? And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord. Do you realize that we've talked about this, that the high place in the Hebrew is called the Bama, B-A-M-A-H. The low place is called the Bima, B-I-M-A-H. One vowel point difference. The Bima is where the angel speaks from. Whether or not you like this or not, I'm your angel.
Say what?
Okay? The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles? Pass us a miracle. Which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Now, they told them to it at every Passover, right? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Remember that whenever you see the Midianites from now on, you know that the Midianites in truth are a place of judgment. But the real Midianites are the Amalekites. The Amalekites are simply what? Flesh. And the Lord looked upon him and said, I mean, this doesn't make any sense at all.
You didn't hear me.
Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now, we've talked a lot lately about the sense of purpose, a sense of destiny. I think I scared everybody half to death last night talking about this stuff. Nobody ever really believes me. I mean, you might get excited about it for about 30 seconds. You know, when we talk about guerrilla warfare and all that kind of stuff, Tom and Harry get hard-ons. But as with most hard-ons, never mind.
But you fundamentally don't believe me. You fundamentally
believe that you are with Gideon and that you are a poor little guy or little gal somewhere doing little stuff. Real little stuff. Agree?
Yep, yep. Agreed.
Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Every one of you believe that the Lord has forsaken you. The reason you believe the Lord has forsaken you is because you have unfulfilled desires. You understand? You can hear preaching about waiting on the Lord and believing and faith till hell freezes over, but the real response internally is that you believe the Lord has forsaken you.
Right.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think about how I really felt.
Okay.
And I was thinking, what I really felt was there's an empty universe, which is the same thing.
Mm. There's no real, it's sort of a
cloudy, foggy place.
Or nihilistic yeah. kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like being a little animal.
Yeah. Alright.
Doing animal stuff.
And the Lord looked upon him. Remember, just now, you understand? It says, he's talking to an angel. And all of a sudden, the angel is no longer, it says, it's not the angel anymore. Now it's the Lord looked at him. That's pretty
Whoa.
Weird.
Whoa.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto him, in verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? The same vessel became first this weird guy, then an angel, than the Lord. You understand? What?
You just said that you were the angel and you just described yourself as being first this weird guy.
But that's how you'll see it. You'll be, there are times when I speak to you that you think I'm this weird guy. There are times when I speak to you that you truly believe I'm an angel. And there are times that I speak to you that you know it's the voice of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
That's weird.
But it's the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a time, and I know it when it happens, when there is no separation in me. I mean, all right. The only question that you have to answer right now is in verse 14. But that question is, have I not sent thee? If you believe that you are first called and then sent, there is nothing impossible for you. You understand me? Alright, let's go.
And I think that's true even for people who aren't called.
Yeah.
They just believe it, you know, in just pure soul jump.
Yeah.
You know, they become powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you were truly called, then...
Right. If you don't see any separation, even in the soul, then there's massive power. That's right. Okay. Verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. And in the Hebrew, it could easily have said, surely I will be in thee.
That's neat, because in like verse 13, he's talking about, you know, how can you say all this stuff when all this stuff has befallen us? It's like he's describing his weakness, and then he doesn't describe his, and he says, go in this thy might, okay? You know, he says, wait a minute, I just described weakness. And then he says, surely I will be with thee. I mean, it's like those two kind of go hand in hand.
Right, and it's like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, that only at this point, when you see your weakness, is his strength revealed. Okay. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, we could spend the rest of the evening there, but I want you to understand, first of all, that the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east are the same in this metaphor.
New Jersey.
Yeah, from New Jersey. And I want you to understand that there is a moment of confessed weakness, a confrontation, an arena of trouble that has happened because the world, the arena, is in a state of total apostasy. And there's a confrontation first with an angel, and then with the Lord himself. There's confessed weakness, and then there's massive power. Now, that's what the celebration of Purim is. It's the celebration of the victory over the Amalekites or the Midianites or the flesh or... And it's a... The words are... Should I get too many notes? In general, it's a day of gladness, of feasting, and a good day. Now, we've seen it time and time and time again that our function is to enter, or as it says, John said in the Hallel, that the day of the Lord can finally begin. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Be glad and rejoice therein. Now, you can't be glad and rejoice in this day or the next day or the next day until you know that the enemy has been crushed. Otherwise, you're going to run around nervous all the time. You're going to live in strongholds. You're going to try to protect your ass. Purim is the word which means to crush. So, you know, in a broad brush overview, that's really what the celebration of Purim is about. It's a total crushing of the head of the enemy. The head of the serpent is bruised fatally by the seed of the woman. Okay? But we had never talked in here about that the Midianites and Gideon's relationship to them, et cetera, et cetera. Where the
talk some more about getting out of caves and strongholds.
Okay. You can't get out of the cave and the stronghold until you know you are sent. You can't know you are sent until you know you're called. Now, it took them 7 years to get out of that friggin' cave.
You know what's really weird is the wavering. It's like there are times when it's so clear. The experience of being called and sent is so clear, and then it's just, then I just go back to being it seems weird that something that dramatic would come to one's mind and then just kind of, you know, I just kind of blow it off.
Well, stop a minute and think about it's the pattern throughout. We have Mary being pregnant without intercourse, having a confrontation with the angel telling her exactly what's happening. A few years later she forgets it happened and gets all bent out of shape and think her son is crazy.
Yeah.
What you're experiencing is the norm, and it's called
people
the trial of faith.
You know, even after God did all these great things, parting the water, a few miles down the road, I want to go back. This is really boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just seems odd.
But you gotta understand what would happen from God's standpoint. You always gotta. It's not odd if you see God's perspective. God doesn't want if you would never forget. Then you would become a hero of the faith. Nothing could ever deter you. And what that would mean is that you would never need anyone.
Yeah, I was thinking you'd become king of the earth eventually.
Yeah. God of the world.
But the reason you go into a state where you forget who you are, you forget the need. That's God's needle knitting us together in love.
I'm sort of looking at this little guy, Gideon. And he never forgot. I mean, he knew it was God had delivered him to the Midianites. He didn't ascribe it to some other cause. He knew who his father was, even though he complained about being the least in his father's house, but he knew who his father was, and he didn't exalt himself. He was threshing wheat, which is separating the chaff from the wheat, and he was in the place of the winepress. So all he really did, I mean, the reason the angel appeared to him was because he hung around. That's the only thing I keep coming back to every time I go crazy, is there's nothing to do but just don't run.
Yeah. Let's go on here. And he said unto him, if I have now found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Am I not dreaming? Give me some evidence that you mean what you say. Am I dreaming? Mm-hmm. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until I come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes, of an ephah, a flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth on them. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes. And there arose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight.
They did that, I believe. That would get my attention. A fire-breathing rock.
We're talking about
talking major special effects here.
Watch where you point that thing off.
They're all lonely. Yeah. Daryl goes up in flames.
Yes.
That's right, he was hulking. He went happy.
Daryl becomes a flipper.
September.
I got some good news.
Daryl was
bad news.
Daryl was no more.
And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Wow. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now, there's all these names, right? God, there's 16 names of Jehovah. And every one of them represents a new tearing away of the flesh within you, so you see a more complete picture of who Jehovah is.
Right.
Now, Jehovah Shalom, when you can confess Jehovah Shalom, that means that you can confess that it is impossible for anyone or anything to ever be against you again. Because shalom, peace, means the total and complete absence of that which is able to cause you antagonism.
That looks a lot like Jerusalem.
Jehovah Shalom. Remember, again, you can't. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that right now. But it's internally. It's an act of revelation that can only come about after you've been tested. He'd been tested in the wine press. He'd been tested in the stronghold. He'd been tested, and he hadn't. I mean, from a spiritual standpoint, the biggest thing is he hadn't died. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Oh, when he saw God, he didn't die.
No. He hadn't died during the test. If you leave, you die. You understand that? You really understand that? If you withdraw yourself, that's what death is, separation. He hadn't died as a result of the test. That's the only reason God used him.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to consider that Jehovah Shalom is the right and proper name for you to call God. When you can call the Father Jehovah Shalom, then you have overcome the wicked one. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the celebration, the end result of the Feast of Purim, is so that you can call the Father Jehovah Shalom. Understand a little bit?
Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about naming God, you know, the one that always comes to my mind is Jehovah without modifier.
I am.
Because that is the one that is, I mean, and that's not righteous, because for this person, that's the one that is just, you know, just so.
Yeah, but that's the one that doesn't fuck with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just off there and you're in the empty universe.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Just walking about in Jehovah Shalom, it seems like.
When you can call him Jehovah Shalom, then it's a massive step. What?
I was just thinking about calling Jehovah Shalom. A name.
It's a good name.
Yeah. I mean, but it's, you know, it's like a Jewish name. Jehovah Shalom.
Okay.
Mr. Shalom.
We'll call him Manny.
Or in Louis's case, Senor.
Oh,
Dr. Isaac and Mr. Shalom.
Now, you want to see what happens to you once you can call God Jehovah Shalom?
Yeah.
All right, let's read on this.
Oh, I closed the book. Ooh.
Page 212.
Well, in that case, then let's not see what it is. Jackie, close the book. Let's just pull it off.
Who closed the book of love?
Here.
No. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar. Now, you got to recognize, they didn't have a great many bullocks.
Yeah, they already messed up a kid, got a kid fried.
Yeah, I got a kid fried, now they're about to get a bull fried. Something's going to happen to the bull.
A bull fried?
Okay.
And throw down, take the father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. In other words, destroy the high place.
Mm, that's why I talked before, earlier here, about, you know, you're worshiping those, stupid gods.
That's right.
Now, his father doesn't refer to it as an altar of Baal.
No. His father thinks it's a god. His father is convinced it's the god, it's the altar to Jehovah. Do you understand? There's not one person in the whole universe that ever thinks that God is Baal. You got to understand that, or you'll just...
Oh, I'm worshiping the dumb god.
Yeah.
Let's go to the house. Well, you should stop.
Jehovah the dumb god.
Jehovah dumb. Instead of dumb. Jehovah Shalom.
Yeah. You're dumb.
Okay. Well, that's not going to make anybody happy. You got to know that right from the start.
No.
And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock.
The one that spit fire.
Mm-hmm. In the ordered place. And that's why I'm going to do that. In the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove.
Wow.
Which thou shalt cut down. Now that's really going to piss them off, because you're going to mess with their sex life and their success life.
You know what else is very curious about this is that God never, ever, ever does what you expect him to. I mean, I'm sure when he brought all this stuff out, he thought God was going to make, like, lots of little cakes.
All right. Then Gideon took 10 men, a minion, of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. So we got a little cowardice here. Thank God that God revealed that these men of faith were cowards. Thank God that it talks about praying to the God of Jacob instead of the God of Isaac. We'd be in deep trouble if these anecdotes in the scripture weren't filled with this kind of thing, where Gideon, this great hero of faith, who's talked about in Hebrews 11 as one of the heroes of faith, if it wouldn't have said when we go back here and investigate it,
he was a chicken
chick. But he was a chicken chick.
Wake my folks.
What's sort of like Abraham?
Or the same thing like with Moses. You know, Hebrews 11 said Moses esteemed the riches of God better than all the pussy in Egypt and the riches. What?
That was sex.
That was
sex. I never read that one.
I don't know if he'd been the next pharaoh, he would have had all this.
Ooh, that's pretty spiritual.
Is that the better text?
Well, it just sort of hollocked out.
You know what he's saying?
Daryl's caused me to holler.
That's another good excuse. Daryl made me do it.
Jehovah Daryl.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. Oh, yes. Wait. Pete?
Yeah.
Jehovah Daryl, you can't. We can't.
You've broken through the Terminator.
Really?
I order all the women to pose.
But don't move a muscle.
I don't like that.
He did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered up upon the altar that it was built. And they said one to another, who had done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Now, this is exactly why Jesus said, they shall kill you and think they're doing God holy service.
Yeah.
Because the role that will take place in you as automatic as the night is going to follow the day is that once you realize you're sent, the first thing you will do is you'll become a sign and a wonder even to your father's house. Because you will cut down the grove. You will destroy the Balaam. Not that you should. Can't do anything but. All right. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. And again, that's the way we taunt.
Oh, yeah, that's the same as...
The same as Abraham did when he put the axe in the main God's hand. He would taunt him.
So he's saying, are you guys going to defend the dumb God?
Yeah. You're defending Jehovah dumb?
Okay.
Let him plead for himself. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Jerubbaal. Huh?
There's a
Jerubbaal.
Yeah, it's an accented B, so
Jerubbaal means, well, who knows? I mean, not even Hebrews know how to pronounce these. But the point of it, it means let that God plead for himself. That's what that name means in the Hebrew. You understand? So he called the place, let Jehovah dumb plead his own cause. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him.
Wow.
And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and to Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came to meet them. Well, anyway, I don't want to talk anymore. But then you know the famous story about all these guys come, there's too many, and God says, you know, go lick, drink water, and those that drink water like dogs, or whatever. So he ended up at 300. So Gideon and his 300 destroyed 186,000 Midianites.
Oh, this is the one where they hide the light inside the earthen vessels, and when the earthen vessels are broken, the light's revealed. That's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, the thing that takes place now is that the Amalekites are defeated. No matter what the number of, no matter what possible thing is there that you see as an enemy, it has no chance. That's what you have to see. It doesn't matter whether it's anything external or anything internal. The goal, the takeaway from this night is that as of Saturday, hopefully as of tonight, you're able to call God Jehovah Shalom. You, you know, I want you to realize something, and I was trying to talk about it to Harry a little while ago earlier, is that if Harry could ever once realize that I'm not against him, mind-blowing things would happen to him. You'd never know fear again.
Yeah.
That's what was so wild today, because in this thing, Bloom and Paula came in and voluntarily submitted themselves to me. I could have caused them to go into bankruptcy, because Paula has suspected for years that I'm out to hurt her some way. I mean, it's sort of back here in the back of her mind. By the end of the day, it was like, my God, if Ollie isn't against me, maybe God isn't either.
Yeah.
And that's what we want from this celebration of Purim, to be able to see that there is nothing on the face of the earth or in time and space that can do you any harm. Once you understand that, the departure from the stronghold is automatic. Then you can go and walk on your high places. You can dance, you can joke about them, you can do anything, you can joke about the shame. Nothing is ever again controlling you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like what Lou was talking about being born.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take it, big guy. We'll